That's the reason you're the guy who's in the
Thank you. Welcome back to so many who have either been out sick or been away, and happy to have you back. The announcements, I think, are printed in your bulletin. Remember that this week, men's breakfast will be at 7 o'clock here at St. Luke's. We have Wednesday's confirmation soup supper is at Union Congregational Church, as is the Lenten worship. Hope that we have a good turnout. We had more of their people here Wednesday night than we had of our own. So keep that in mind. We've got to keep up with them. last week, we're using the healing power of the cross. This week, Dan Matters will interview two distinguished eyes on America in our fifth presentation. It's called The Healing of Sight. And a couple of other announcements. One is that there are these information sheets. If you have not filled one out, please do. Our information for many people is out of date, especially if you change your phone number or your email or things of that nature. That would be very helpful. And while you're at it, when you go to the back and pick up one of these blue sheets, this is a time and talent sheet. Tell us how many talents you want us to share with you. All right. And then, finally, there's another, the devotional that I write is back there. And if we run out this morning, I printed some more, and they're available. Are there other announcements?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Couple of them. Lois?
Oh, I just want to say, remember to pick up your sticker, the window stickers for the 100th anniversary. They're in there on the table under the mailboxes.
Okay.
The little, you can put on your cars or whatever. Just advertising our celebration coming up.
Okay. Linda?
The women of the church are going to gather Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. We're going to try and clean the kitchen.
Yes. After the Please men have been here. was that time?
Yeah, it was sort of time.
That's a little suspicious there. Okay. Yes. Oh, another one. Tell them.
One of my uncles is speaking out at the backyard of the church.
After church today.
After church today. They're playing a game.
Ultimate Frisbee. Anybody wants to play?
Oh, Ultimate Frisbee. Now, I play golf, frisbee, and some of the others, but that's the first one for me. All right. Yes, Dean.
I want to thank everybody who signed up for Meals on Wheels. We've got a full schedule now, so we're ready to go and starting tomorrow.
Super. And one last announcement that I have, and it's the Genesis Bible study. If you haven't come, we're going to be looking at chapter 3 this week, so bring your Bible and come. We didn't have haven't had very many people come on Thursday evening, so if you're coming, please do. I think I've got all of the announcements I have. Other announcements, last minute? Then let's begin our worship. We're using the Red Book, setting 4, and I found out that I had the wrong page number for the Forgive, Confession, and Forgiveness. It's on page 94 in the front of the hymnal. Page 94. And please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lift high the cross. Number 660.
Sacred name. lifted on the glorious tree, as thou hast promised, draw us all to thee. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. So shall our song of triumph ever be, praise to the crucified for victory. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name.
The service continues on page 147. Page 147. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God,
Lamb of God,
you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You're seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of compassion, you welcome the wayward, and you embrace us all with your mercy. By our baptism, clothe us with garments of your grace, and feed us at the table of your love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The first reading today is from Joshua 5, 9 through 12. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, and so that place is called Gilgag of this day." While the Israelites were camped in Gilgag, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. We're going to read Psalm 32 responsively today. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up in the heat of the day.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding. You must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you.
Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart. And the second reading today is 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This ends the second reading.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At this time, I've invited some people to help us with this reading. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to the father,
"Father, give me the share of the property that belongs to me."
So he divided the property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said,
"How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'"
So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him,
"Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son."
But the father said to his slaves,
"Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found."
And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard the music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked, "What's going on?" He replied,
"Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound."
Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. So he answered his father,
"Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him."
Then the father said to him,
"Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Thank you. This time I'd like to invite the children to come up. Hi. Do any of you ride bicycles?
Me.
Do you ride a bicycle?
Yeah.
Anybody? All of you?
Not Grace.
You don't ride a bicycle?
I fall on my face.
Did you? All right. Well, what did you start out just getting on the bicycle and riding? You don't? Oh, you don't? Okay. Well, the first time you got on a bicycle, what did you... tell me about it. Can you?
I fell off.
You fell off? Mm-hmm. Did you ever have training wheels on your bike?
Yeah.
You still have them?
I don't have them anymore.
Don't have them anymore? What happens when you take them off? You fall. Simple as that, isn't it? Yeah. Well, there are other things we have to learn the hard way too, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, yeah, when we have a little baby, what do you feed a little baby? Do you give them steak and eggs?
No.
Why don't you give them a hamburger?
They can't chew it.
They can't chew it, you're right. They need something, what do they need?
Milk.
Milk. They need something easy that they don't have to chew on. Because
they don't have any teeth.
And besides that, if they ate too much, what would they do? They would choke, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
So just like with a bicycle, you need training wheels to keep you up. Well, when we learn to eat, sometimes we have to learn with milk, and then what's the next thing you get to eat?
Baby food.
baby food. Yum. Right? Well, there was a time when you liked it, though, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you liked, what do you like to eat now?
Big kid food.
Big kid food. What?
Dash burgers.
Dash burgers? is anybody into pizza? Hot dogs? Yeah. See? Yeah. But sometimes we start with the little stuff that the little kids do, and then we get to do the big kid stuff, right? Well, God calls the children of Israel, and you'll have to listen to the sermon today a little more than normal, because in the sermon we learn about these Israelites who had to start the training wheels. All right? So they were just like you and me. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us training wheels. Thank you, God, for leading us in your way and giving us new opportunities to do the big kid stuff and to eat the big kid's food. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. It would seem to me that most of our ancestors needed training wheels too. I know mine did. My grandparents all came over from the old country and didn't speak a word of English. And I imagine that's true with many of your ancestors. They didn't speak any English. They needed somebody who acted like training wheels, helping them to learn the language and learn how to talk, learn how to communicate with other people. But it wasn't just the language. There were other things that they needed help with. I know that when they came to this country, there wasn't much lutefisk around. And many of them couldn't have lived without their lutefisk. Yet, when they came, they had to learn to cook with venison or buffalo or cook things they'd never cooked before. So they had to learn the hard way, but there was always someone there to help them walk that path. Well, the same thing was true with the children of Israel. When they left Egypt, they had to have some training wheels too, and God provided them with that. Their first complaint, of course, was that they didn't have any food. So day after day, God provided manna that came down so that they had something to eat. And he provided water for them to drink, and quail for them to eat, and protection from snake bites and all kinds of other horrible things that could happen to you out in the wilderness. And Joshua tells us that when they came into the promised land, after the first year of harvest, the manna stopped. The training wheels were gone. They no longer needed them. They could do it themselves. All of this comes to them as a gift of God. Something that they took for granted. After they had been there a while, you know, just like the manna and the water, they kind of took for granted that it was going to be there. And when it wasn't, they would complain. Well, it always was. But when they got tired of it, they complained. When they get into the new land, now they can produce their own. They can have their own food. They can have their own water. They can have all of the things that they really wanted. They didn't need the help that they had before. But the problem was they forgot where it all came from. They kind of forgot that God had led them out of Egypt. God had provided them with food and water. And that God had provided them with this new land. It's hard for us to even imagine. And the question that God must have asked is, did I just waste my grace upon them? It's the question that's at the back of Paul's mind as he writes our second reading. From created this church in Corinthia, and he has gone on to Ephesus. And from there he hears the word that the people have become, the church, have become involved in immorality, have been bickering and fighting, have not been following the way of God. They no longer have him there as their training wheels. And in that sense, they have lost their understanding of God's grace. And Paul calls them back and he says, now, you are a new creation in Christ. You're not that old person who used to be. You are a new creation. And in Christ, you are indeed a new creation. In Christ, a new creation. In Christ, we are made new. For Christ, the Lord of nations, is calling me and you. In Christ, a new creation is rising from the old. Let's start the celebration and let our lives unfold. In Christ, a new creation. In Christ, we are made new. The reconciliation at last is coming through. In Christ, a new creation. Ambassadors are we. Out to every nation and set the captives free. In Christ, a new creation. In Christ, we are made new. We feel the liberation. We feel God's presence too. In Christ, a new creation. Born to live again, we sing for our salvation, we sing the great Amen. In the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians, what our reading today was from the fifth chapter, but in the sixth chapter, Paul begins by saying, do not receive the grace of God in vain. Wow, what a warning. A warning that we too may waste God's grace when we take it in vain, when we forget how important it is. And if you want to talk about wasteful grace, our gospel is just loaded with it. My word, you've got the younger son, who wants his share of the inheritance now. He's not going to wait. He goes off, squanders it, ends up feeding pigs and eating with the pigs. And that's when he finally comes to the conclusion, my father's slaves have it better than I have. And so he returns and grovels for his father's help, even willing to become a slave again for himself. Now, that's one of the prodigals, but there's another prodigal, and that's the older brother. Here is an older brother who has had everything of his father's. In fact, everything that his father has left after he's given his younger son stuff is all going to be the older son's. He's had it all this time. He could have used it, or in fact increased it, so that when his father dies, he'd have even more. And yet, he blew it. He's another prodigal. But then there is the father. Now, this parable could easily be called the prodigal father. Because, think about it, this father didn't have to give his younger son anything. A father, especially in those days, had absolute control over those kids. He could kick the son out. He could have just said, stay put and work. No. He gives in to his son and lets him go off, and he knows he's going to be in trouble. And then, when the son comes back, where's the father? Well, the father is at the door watching to see if he can find his son. And when he sees him, he races after him and he wraps him in his arms. Now, this kid has been feeding pigs. I fed pigs. I know what that's like. It wasn't pretty. He didn't smell pretty. He was disgusting. And yet he wraps his arms around him and he kisses him. Yuck! And then he calls the servants to put a ring on his finger, and I'm sure he gave him a bath first. Put a new robe on him and kill the fatted calf and have a party. Wow. Now there's the prodigal father. And that is our Father. Our Heavenly Father, who loves us so much that despite what kind of a pig pen we've been living in, what kind of sins we've committed, no matter how far away we have strayed, every time we come back to Him, He wraps His arms around us. And every time we kneel at that altar, He says, this is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sin. Welcome home, my child. Welcome home. Now, if that isn't good news, I don't know what is. So that's the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we come home to become a new creation. Not the old, but a new creation in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hymn number 779.
Save.
printed on page 105 in front of the hymnal. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Before and after the prayers, we will sing, Lord, listen to your people, your children praying. That's printed in your bulletin. God of abundant grace, guide your church to look upon people as you look upon them with compassion and as deserving of mercy. Shape us to be worthy ambassadors of Christ. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bestow dignity on migrant and seasonal farm and factory workers. When the time comes for them to leave jobs, provide new ways for them to make a livelihood. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Inspire musicians and poets to point to your unfathomable beauty and creativity. Enhance our vision of your holiness through their works and all that they do. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Protect and preserve all people who look to you to be their hiding place, especially
Kathy, Dale, Loretta, Esther, Daniel,
and those we name in our hearts before you now. Be their respite from trouble and give them hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Erase the pain of trauma and the shame and stigma of social contempt. Change the hearts of those who bully or mistreat others and heal broken relationships. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Invite your whole company of saints into eternal joyful feasting. When we question your abundant mercy, soften our hearts to receive the gifts of love, faith, and love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Reveal your will as you receive our prayers and conform our ways to your ways through the saving work of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
our hands. We lift our lives up to you. We are an offering. Lord, use our voices. Lord, use our hands. Lord, use our lives. They are yours. We are an offering. All that we have, all that we are, all that we hope to be, we give to you. We give to you. We lift our voices. We lift our hands. We lift our lives up to you. We are an offering. We are.
Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The dialogue is found on page 152 in the front of the hymnal.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
Should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
The Thanksgiving at the table is not printed in your bulletin. Join me in singing the Come Lord Jesus at the appropriate time. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. Your mercy is everlasting and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise you for your Spirit poured out on all nations.
Jesus.
And
Please stand as you are able. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus, keep me near the cross.
My ransom soul.